L'une de mes toutes premières interviews, bien avant la création de Volant, date de 2011. J'étais à San Francisco et j'avais eu la chance de croiser la route d'un des fondateurs de Airbnb. Si vous cherchez sur un moteur de recherche, vous verrez que je n'étais pas très doué à l'époque d'ailleurs. Mais j'étais impressionné et ravi car j'ai toujours trouvé la capacité de Airbnb à créer une communauté de partage vraiment incroyable. Et donc depuis, l'appartement dont je suis propriétaire a toujours été sur Airbnb pour les moments où je suis en vacances ou simplement absent, car cela me permet d'arrondir les fins de mois. Avec ce supplément de revenus, je peux partir en voyage au Japon en 2016 par exemple, sans doute l'un de mes plus beaux voyages. Donc si vous avez une chambre de libre ou si vous partez en week-end, vous avez sans doute vous aussi un Airbnb. Pour découvrir combien pourrait vous rapporter votre logement, rendez-vous sur airbnb.fr/hôte. C'est airbnb.fr/hôte. H-O-T-E. Allez, place à l'épisode maintenant.
Money is kind of always an issue, whether you have a lot, whether you don't have any money, whether you have a little bit of money. And I realized that by listening to a podcast by Fabrice Florent, who is a French podcaster. And so I decided to receive someone, and Pedro Correa, who is a friend of mine that I received on this podcast, connected me to Peter Koenig, who is probably the most well-known person talking about that topic, the relationship to money. His book, 30 Lies About Money, was actually recommended by Deepak Chopra, George W. Bush, or even the Pope John Paul II. So I guess he knows what he's talking about because he has done more than 30 years of, retreat around money. And so with Peter, we talk about earning your life. We talk about your self-worth. We talk about the relationship to money. How can it be sane and why it is usually insane, that it brings freedom, does it bring security, what does it bring exactly? And you'll see, I think it's a very interesting conversation, and so I'll let you listen to it.
Allez, Volant, c'est parti! Hi, everyone. Hi, Peter.
Hello. Hello, Gregory.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
I'm glad. I think this is the very first time that I have an author whose book was recommended by Deepak Chopra, but also George W. Bush, but also the Pope John Paul II. And the question that is raising in my head is, how come money is such an important topic?
Well, if you... let me just answer that first. Before I answer the why, I want to reinforce that it seems to be a very important topic, and anybody listening can go and discover this by themselves. You go into any train, tram, bus, whatever, or restaurant, and listen, as I have done, to the conversations around you, and you will see that money will come into the subject between every 2 and 3 minutes, almost into every conversation. So I just want to confirm that it gives the appearance of being incredibly important because we all talk about it so much. Why is it so important? Because, or this is my belief, we have all been educated to believe that in order to be successful and have what we want in our life, we need to have money. And this education starts extremely young. It's from our parents. They don't even realize that they're teaching us this. But in the first time you go into a supermarket as a small child and you reach out for all the beautiful things on the shelves, the first lesson that you learn is that you're not allowed to have all the beautiful things on the shelves immediately. You can only, if you scream and shout enough, maybe are allowed to have a small sweet or something, and then you're dragged over to another part of the supermarket, and then you see what we call money for the first time in your life. And you hear the word money, and it might be plastic or paper or something, and you get the first lesson. If you want something in life, you need to have money. And that's where it all starts.
And then comes this expression that I don't really like, but that I use, which is earn your living.
That's right.
Gagner sa vie. What do you think of this expression? And
well,
is it weird that I feel awkward? I mean, I feel it's kind of awkward to me. It is.
Yes, it's you're right to have that feeling. But let me just say, Gregory, that's the second lesson. Because after the child has learned the first lesson, that in order to get what you want in your life or to be what you want in your life, you need to have money, the child asks, well, where is the money? And most children know where money is hidden at home. And a very robust statistic, because I've been giving money seminars for almost 40 years, but I ask every single group, how many of you, who stole money from their parents as a child? And the response is between 40 and 70%, every single group. It's a very robust figure. So in fact, most of us are thieves at a very young age.
I was.
And then we get this message, second lesson from our parents, you're not allowed to steal money. You shouldn't. Stealing is bad. So what do you do for your money? You need to earn your money. You need to gagner ta vie, earn your living, earn your existence. And I'm happy that you feel uncomfortable with this, because actually we are the only creatures on the planet that have this particular system. And it's totally unnatural, because all other creatures are born and have a right to live and a right to take all the resources they need without having to earn anything.
Yeah, because earning your living, it means that you've lost your life
before you've even
in the first place.
That's right.
Yeah.
At the moment you're born, you've already lost your life. I mean, we should be laughing at this, but it's no laughing matter, really.
No, really. It's so weird. There is this quote that I have from you, which is, there's no sane relationship to money, but if you love it. I don't know if I translated it right, because I wrote it in French, but I was wondering what you think about it, and can you just explain a little bit?
Yes. I'm talking about now and the future.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at history, if we go back now to 300 years when the present system and our relationship to money was designed, the relationship to money actually designed the system that we have right now, and it became the system of success for science and industry. So for the material production in factories, money and the way money was designed was extremely important. But to cut it short, it was actually a system based on fear. When you talk about earning or living or gagner la vie, you're actually frightened of losing your living and losing your life. And that is actually your existence. And that is actually what the motivation has been and still is in our factories. Just look at China. You go into the factory to work, which is usually unpleasant, to earn your living, meaning make money, in the hope that at some point you'll have accumulated enough that you can stop doing that and start living your life. Now, this has been extremely successful for the production of material goods on a production line. And it's extremely strongly conditioned into each of us, not just mentally, but it's like it's been inculcated into our bodies and souls. And it's been inherited over many generations. Now, I'm coming to the answer to your question.
No, it's fine. I mean, we have time. It's fine.
Okay. Coming to the answer to your question, what's happened, which is potentially tragic, is that we have become like machines ourselves. We're on automatic with this conditioned system. And what we're not, what we are unconscious or have been unconscious of is that it's an extractive process, extracting capital from nature. So that, you know, we're seeing the extinction happen. We're seeing all the difficulty with climate change and all the other equality and all the other problems. They are actually a consequence of this same system, which was very successful for previous generations, but has gone on automatic. It's like we don't know when enough is enough. We can't, we have difficulty without becoming more conscious of actually stopping this extractive machine. So my saying about love is that we need to understand that we have been working and are still working on a fear-based system, which is constructed on a fear-based relationship to money and to our life, actually, which was successful for the Industrial Revolution. But now, if we continue it, we are actually going into extinction, and what we need is a love-based system of understanding that we need to love ourselves, we need to love money, but in a different way than just accumulating it. And we need to have a system of currencies which are actually based on love.
that is a very nice thinking, but at the same time, I feel like we are not there at all. I mean, And I was wondering, why would you say that this has 300 years? I feel like before that, money was already something. I mean, we were selling pretty much everything. We were exchanging also things, but the kings had more things than the peasant, or, you know, people who could buy slaves, and, you know,
of course, this is true. But the particular dynamics of the present system were actually created in the 17th century, particularly by a group in England under a man called Harbin. And part of his group contained Isaac Newton and the philosopher John Locke, and they figured out this system of creating paper money and interest rates, and right. Later came brokers' fees. And so we have a system of exponential interest. I won't go into all the details of this, but the actual system was designed to produce material goods, material products like steam engines, pharmaceuticals, nowadays motor cars, everything that you can produce on a production line. And what the problem? So this worked for probably your grandfather, Gregory, my father, uh-huh. and all those generations back, and was the system of success. The problem with it, with the present generation, and what has not been noticed, is that the needs have shifted from material needs of things being produced on a production line. And if you ask present generations, what do you need right now? It's not, you know, 10 more computers and five more cars. What you'll hear people answer in my seminars is what they answer: I need to have freedom, security, peace, happiness, good health, basically things which are immaterial, not material.
That's very true indeed. And but I feel like what I hear on my side and what I can feel within me is you want to take out the financial pressure in your life so that you can have that freedom. But a question that I have is, isn't it not a dream, but somehow like something that is not achievable? Like I have this example that I take in my book of this blue collar, you know, married, two children,
good life, everything's fine. I mean, blue collar, but not great life, like successful, like we could imagine in the Hollywood movies, but you know, like just a normal life, happy life. And at some point, the guy earned the lottery. And what happened next is he's losing his wife, kids, and committing suicide. And I feel like a lot of us are dreaming about, you know, having millions and, you know, being able to do this and that and this and that and having no financial pressure. But eventually, I feel like it is not working either. So is that even achievable? To have this freedom you were talking about?
It is possible. Mm-hmm. It is achievable. Right. But you need to, and this is what my work over 40 years has been about,
yeah.
You need to become conscious of your relationship to money. And what money, this relationship to money is doing with you and what you are doing with your money. And if you're not conscious, you're just on automatic, as I described before, right. like a piece of machinery. And money has become the taboo, the deepest taboo subject in society. So for people that are developing themselves, that are becoming more conscious, it is actually the last subject that they touch. They touch subjects like nutrition, sexuality, meditation, spirituality, and everything else. Before it occurs to them that they should be looking at their relationship to money. And actually, when people do look at their relationship to money, they touch the deepest levels of their what they think of as their spirituality, because they're touching something which is deeply locked up in this societal taboo, actually.
Super interesting.
They're touching the deepest parts of themselves. And you gave the example of this person who committed suicide in the lottery. Not everybody commits suicide, but hopefully. but many have great difficulties after they've won the lottery, because actually, while you're hoping to win, many people get a sort of buzz out of their hope to win, and after they've won, that buzz is gone. And there, they're faced with a whole new set of life circumstances. And for some, this new set of life circumstances, including losing your friends, because you were brought up in another ambiance in society. I mean, it demands, it's very demanding. It's a very demanding situation for many people, which is why you hear many sad stories of people who have won the lottery.
It's very interesting, and at the same time, I feel like maybe people listening to us will feel like these two guys, they're wealthy and they're talking about money, and they're talking about money because, well, they can. Because we're privileged, which we are, being born in Europe is already a large privilege, basically. So the question basically is it an issue or a subject that we talk about when we are wealthy and that, you know, real people, I would say, I don't know, but real people, but, you know, the most people, I mean, the majority is not, doesn't ha- don't have this disadvantage of being able to talk about money. You know what I mean? Like, is it something that we talk about because we're wealthy, or
people that are wealthy don't talk about their money?
That's true.
So it's not about being, it has nothing to do with your level of wealth or your level of debt.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can just explain a little bit.
Sure.
The thing to really understand is what money is and how it works, because this is what none of us have been educated in. I went to a good school, I went to university, I went to business school. In none of these places was I ever taught what money is and how it works. So basically, nobody's been taught this in our society. And this is what I suddenly realized. I need to study this to somehow manage my life and be happy. And I decided, I know you've had Pedro Correa on.
Totally.
And he recommended that you contact me. So I made a decision when I was 34, when I had a fair amount of money and was so-called successful, that I would stop, I would never again do anything in my life that I didn't want to do. And I'm now 74. I've been doing what I love for 40 years, actually. And during this, I started to train other people to become like me. I thought, why should anybody do things that they don't love doing, and particularly work which is damaging to them and their families? And I had some of the wealthiest people in my trainings from top companies. And I was really surprised that these people who were in so-called positions of power were not capable of doing what I was doing. And this was a seminal moment for me to start researching the relationship to money, because I saw that when they started sharing around subjects of finance, I noticed how their energy shifted and something changed in them in comparison to when they were talking about their values and what they loved in life and so forth. As soon as they would start talking about money, it seemed that something would change. And I was saying, you know, how does this happen to us? Because money is something that we humans have created, and it's not like nature. And how come that something that we have created, like money, which was designed to help us realize our projects and our lives, is now actually doing the reverse? So this is the fundamental point, Gregory. One has to start researching what's happened there. And what is money is the essential to see how money works, is the essential starting point to be able to analyze this kind of situation.
It is so interesting indeed.